Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for more Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, set to go on this Friday afternoon. Very quiet day all the way around, isn't it? But even with very little happening on the local sports front in the form of games, we still have a lot of information that is coming out, it seems like, minute by minute. In fact, about an hour ago, the NJCAA released a statement, and of course, this affects USU Eastern, it'll affect Snow College, it affects Salt Lake here in the state, that all spring sports competitions have now been postponed until April 3rd, so a few weeks off for the spring sports JUCO season as well. We know there's a two-week suspension period that has been put in place by the Utah High School Activities Association, and now that final domino has fallen on the local sports front. The NJCAA will resume April 3rd, perhaps. There's still a chance that the spring sports season could be canceled completely. You can get the complete press release, the complete statement by the NJCAA right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. And we will talk JUCO sports for the local sports segment on the show today. Athletic Director Scott Madsen at USU Eastern is going to join us over the phone. That meeting concluded about an hour and a half ago. So we'll get the update from Coach Scott Madsen on everything that was said within the meeting regarding junior college athletics. That's coming up on the show today. As far as national sports talk is concerned, I want to do my best to stay away from the reoccurring talks of we don't have NBA basketball for a minimum of 30 days, and the Players Association may, in fact, execute the doomsday pay provision. I want to stay away from the coronavirus talk. And so one event that we know will happen for a fact is the NFL draft. It's going to happen. Now, may not go down with the big hoopla at the Bellagio with thousands and thousands of people in attendance. That may not happen, but we do know the NFL draft will take place at the end of April. We know this. Let's talk NFL draft on the show today. Draft boards. Whose stock is rising? Whose stock is falling? I'll tell you, Jordan Love, quarterback for Utah State, his stock continues to climb day by day by day. How does the quarterback draft situation impact free agency? Because the new league season for the NFL, it begins in 5 days. They haven't pushed that back yet. Now, OTAs and everything else that goes along with it, we have no idea on right now. But as far as the new league season and the NFL draft, we know March 18th for the new league season, and the draft will take place at the end of April. So we will talk about that in just a bit. Here's some good news, though, regarding the coronavirus. I think it's a good feel-good story. Kevin Love started this yesterday, where he pledged to help arena workers in Cleveland. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Zion Williamson are following suit, and they too have pledged to help out employees who will be unable to work while the NBA season is indefinitely suspended. Antetokounmpo tweeted this today, saying that he was going to pledge $100,000 to the forum staff. And then Zion Williamson, who I become more impressed with by the day, just the way he handles himself, especially with the interaction of the fans, he said the exact same thing. He's going to make sure that he helps out during this crisis. He talked about how New Orleans has been extremely welcoming to him since he's began his journey in the NBA. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So some feel-good stories in the NBA while there is a work stoppage. Us regular Joes, when we hear there's an indefinite stoppage, we don't really care about the pay provision for players that are making millions and millions of dollars, right? Because we're regular Joes, just like the people that work at these arenas. We're the people that pay money to go watch these guys play. So to see this type of story take place, I think it's a great thing. Let's move back over to the NFL. The Los Angeles Chargers made some moves today in anticipation of the upcoming free agency period. They have placed the franchise tag on Hunter Henry. So he'll earn more than $11 million in 2020. I think this is a perfect deal for both sides. Tommy Telesco, the general manager for the Chargers, said last month that tagging Henry was going to be a possibility. But the reason this works for both sides, and you don't see that happen an awful lot with a franchise tag, Hunter Henry has a large history of injuries. Give him a one-year deal, pay him properly, $11 million. He caught 136 passes and 17 touchdowns, and I think close to 1,800 yards, if I'm not mistaken, over the last three seasons. Last season, he set the single-season career highs with 55 receptions, 652 yards, and he missed a lot of the season. That's why this is going to work out so perfectly. So a tight end like Hunter Henry, who is a unique talent, probably not going to garner a long-term deal with a lot of guaranteed money. If he can play healthy throughout this season and keep up these numbers, I guarantee you the Chargers will find a way to lock him up long term. Now, while Hunter Henry is staying put with the Chargers, Cordy Glenn, left tackle with the Cincinnati Bengals, he will be looking for a new home. Cincinnati has released Glenn, who played in six games in 2019. He was in the middle of a four-year deal that was worth $46 million. It would have expired at the end of the upcoming season, but the Bengals gained close to $10 million in cap space, and they're not going to owe Glenn any additional money by letting him go today. Again, this is a team that is attempting to retool. They got a coach, a quarterback guru coach, and Zach Taylor, who didn't have head coaching experience. He was thrown to the Wolves last season. And now if you're Cincinnati, it would appear that they'll be looking for their next quarterback in Joe Burrow. This makes sense. A complete retool going on right now with the Bengals. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk to Athletic Director Scott Madsen of USU Eastern. He's going to join us in just a moment. We'll give you the local sports recap on everything that went down yesterday. Plus, we'll talk NFL draft. Who's rising? Who's falling up the draft boards? That's coming up next when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. We'll look at local sports. The Utah High School Activities Association has suspended all spring activities beginning this Monday. The association has made the announcement that all spring activities beginning on March 16th will be suspended for at least a period of 2 weeks. Now, member schools of the Utah High School Activities Association, which does include Carbon, Emory, Green River, and Pinnacle, have been given permission to suspend spring activities immediately. Those member schools or districts needed to work in compliance with the Utah High School Activities Association, and it was also announced that all state school-related travel has been suspended immediately. In the consultation with the board directors and information provided by the state public health officials, the UHSAA has suspended the spring activities to fulfill best practices regarding protection of students and general public regarding the COVID-19 virus. Now, while the suspension was put in play yesterday, we still had a high school activity action, and we will begin on the baseball field. And it was Emory High School falling to Uinta 11-0, wrapping up three games in 3 days at home for the Spartans. Emory was held to just two hits offensively. Both went to juniors Jax Madsen and also Luke Stilson. The loss dips Emory to 2-5 on the season. At this particular time, it is unknown when the Emory baseball team will continue the 2020 season. We move over to soccer, and we will begin with Carbon High School, where yesterday the Dinos picked up a 4-0 victory over the Richfield Wildcats, moving to 1-1 in region play. Carbon was led by four different individuals who scored at least one goal. Brian Ma, Brock Morris, Jackson Griffith, and Noah Bradford all found the back of the net for the Dinos, who are now 2-2 overall on the season. Like baseball, soccer has also been suspended, so it is unclear when Carbon will next take to the soccer field. The Emory Spartans were also in action yesterday, and they moved to 2-0 in conference play as they easily defeated the South Sevier Rams by a final score of 8-0 at home. This game was halted due to the mercy rule of Emory getting to 8. We move over to the softball diamond, and the Carbon Dinos defeated Pineview 9-5 in this victory, which took place in St. George. Now, while all Utah High School Activities Association sports have been suspended, Carbon High School softball team will continue to play in a St. George tournament since the team has already traveled down south. The tournament will take place over the next 2 days, and upon returning home, the softball activities will also come to a halt. We move over to junior college athletics. In USU Eastern's scheduled contest with Salt Lake Community College on the baseball diamond and on the softball fields have also been suspended. It is unclear when USU Eastern athletics will resume. There is a meeting expected to be held today, and an official announcement will be made by the NJCAA. Now, while athletics have been halted, it is important to note that the BDAC is currently closed to the public. The BDAC, which is on the campus of USU Eastern, will follow protocol of the classrooms, and it has been deemed closed until further notice. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Not a lot of local sports to talk about right now. However, there was an announcement made by the NJCAA just a couple of hours ago where they have announced a suspension in the spring sports season until April 3rd. You can read that full release right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. But that does bring up a number of other issues, including eligibility for current freshmen and sophomores participating in the spring sports season. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that, fresh out of a meeting, we have Athletic Director Scott Mattson. And Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time.
Hey, anytime, Jordan. I appreciate being on.
Definitely, Coach. I know it's been a very busy, probably odd week for you. I know yesterday you and I had a couple of conversations, and really everything was kind of contingent on a meeting today as far as the NJCAA is concerned, and they had released a statement just a little while ago stating that we just won't have spring sports for the next few weeks.
Right, and that's what they're doing, is kind of trying to see how this plays out. They're worried about safety, of course, and that's what we're all worried about. And so as we made the decision, we're going to just cancel everything through April 3rd and then reassess it at that point.
I know in talking yesterday, Coach, not only to you, but some other media members that cover the NJCAA, there was a thought that there might not be a spring season. So were you pleasantly surprised with the meeting today, or is this kind of what you expected?
You know, I was a little bit surprised, but I mean, with the lack of information that everyone has about this right now, I could also see it going that way, the way that it did.
It almost feels as if the NJCAA did the right thing. And I'm not saying that the NCAA did anything wrong or that any of these other organizations have done anything wrong, Coach, but they took their time with this, and it seems like their decision wasn't affected by others.
You know, that's exactly it. I think they're hoping we can salvage this season, and they understand how much work and effort that everybody's put in to play this season, but I mean, they're still just kind of waiting to see what happens, and hopefully we can get everything settled and coming back.
Coach, so what does this mean for individuals as far as an eligibility standpoint is concerned? I know that this stuff can get fairly complicated, and I'm sure this was discussed in depth. So what does that mean for kids, that, you know, be it a redshirt freshman or a sophomore, eligibility-wise, what does this mean?
And that's kind of where the hang-up is a little bit. The NJCAA has come in and said they've extended the hardship. They'll give the players a hardship if you haven't played past 60% of your schedule. And so we're right in that area where it's, I mean, we had to make a decision. I think that's where the real push has come from, is we have until, they've extended it now to April 10th, but we're still under the 60%. But if you cancel your season, then those kids will be eligible for that hardship. If we decide to come back and play, that doesn't count.
And with that, is that a decision that will be made around April 3rd when the suspension is over, or do you anticipate that that's maybe something that could happen beforehand?
You know, it's kind of up in the air. It's just kind of, it's going to go off from what everything else plays out. Because, I mean, we have our restrictions through the school and through the state that we have to follow. And with the national thing, that's what plagues a lot of it, because there's so much travel that we have to do in order to play the season. So that's kind of where we're sitting and waiting for answers. And just kind of, we bought ourselves a little bit of time. But, I mean, as a coach, waiting 3 weeks and coming back and trying to finish a season, that's a tough way to go. You know, I mean, you prep these kids, and it's like starting all over at preseason again when you're sitting here doing nothing for 3 weeks.
Sure, sure.
So, that's my biggest fear, is having these kids get shorted because of something like that, you know. And that, I could see in the NCAA where they're just saying, hey, you know what, this is better off this way. And, I mean, the letter of intent they've extended for next year so you can have more. But, I mean, there's just so many scenarios that fall into that one little spot that what we're going to do after this point really plays into it. And, I mean, following along nationally is a good idea.
These kids, they are student athletes, Coach, and I know that there has been some announcements as to what's happening on the school, with the school and with the campus itself. Are the kids able to get out and have any communication with one another whatsoever, maybe practice in between here during the suspension time at all?
For right now, we've canceled practice going through next week until we could kind of get back. I've been out of town, so we're kind of trying to settle in and do things the best we can, but for now we just kind of said it's safer that we cancel all practices, and we're going to have a meeting on Monday and go over how everything goes. And I mean, they're able to walk around. The campus is still open. The cafeteria is open. They're able to go and utilize the library and different areas. So, I mean, we're just trying to limit right now, from my understanding. And like I said, I'm off campus, but we're trying to limit the amount of people in one area at one time, which it's kind of the way the state's going.
Again, our guest right now is USU Eastern Athletic Director Scott Mattson. Coach, you've been around for so long. I know that you've never experienced anything like this. Right now in this spring sports season, we have two first-year head coaches who are really now venturing into uncharted water. I mean, really, I mean, I don't know how you can't follow a blueprint on how to come out of something like this.
No, and that's something that we've talked about. I've been in contact with them quite a bit, probably at least 3 to 4 times a day for the last couple of days. And, you know, it is hard, but we're going to figure out what we need to do, because, like you said, it's uncharted territory right now that we kind of have to figure things out as we go. And hopefully it'll come out in a positive way. And, I mean, the way they're playing right now, it's really disappointing, because they both are on good seasons. So, I mean, for us to have to stop just kind of hurts us. But at the same time, I mean, it's something we have to do, and they'll figure it out. They're great coaches, and they'll figure out what they need to do to kind of continue that if we end up coming back and playing.
Yeah, there have been seasons in the past with every sport where you think, boy, a three week break would be the right thing, right? That could be exactly what the doctor ordered. Not the case this year. Baseball's played quite well, and so has softball.
Right, right, and that's the downside of this, is they are playing well, but I mean, they are a good group, and if we're able to. If we end up canceling this season, we'll have them, most of them, back for next year for a second season, and some of them for a third season. So, I mean, in that aspect, hey, that works out good for us. We have that extra year to be around these kids. But, I mean, some of these kids are graduating and ready to move on, and that's the downside of it, too.
Well, that if the decision is made, Coach, to cancel the season, is that something that would have to be made throughout the entire conference, or is it kind of a school-by-school basis?
You know, we obviously have to follow what our school says, and right now we're trying to figure out as a conference. I've had several athletic director conference calls with all the our region, and we've kind of just we're pushing it back the best we can. And I think it's one of those things that as a conference they'll make their decision, and then we have to be okay with, I guess, whatever they're doing, as long as it follows our restriction. But obviously, first is if our school says we have to do a certain thing, then we're going to do it, and then we'll have to follow the conference. So we talked about different scenarios, because there's a couple schools that are under different restrictions than others. where they just have a modified schedule. So, I mean, there's different things, and like we've talked about, it's all new to everyone, and so we're trying to just think of every possible scenario that could possibly go. And with that, it's just, I mean, there's just so many possibilities with this. I don't think we could ever really get ahead of it as a conference.
Sure, sure. And I know that it has kind of trickled beyond what's happening on the athletics field. I know we reported this morning and talking to you yesterday, the BDAC here on the campus of USU Eastern, that is also closed indefinitely to the public, correct?
Yes, it is. We were given word we needed to close it yesterday, and the public, it'll be closed to the public until further notice. As far as students and faculty, we're allowing a certain number of them in at a time that they have to show their ID cards in order to get in.
What are the other sports coach that we have not mentioned yet? Also rodeo. I know sometimes in the midst of basketball and baseball and softball, we forget about rodeo. What does this mean for the rodeo season? Same thing? I mean, just until April 3rd?
Yes, it does. And they've also had such a good season going. I've been in contact with Monty quite a few times over the last couple of days, and you know, he was a little concerned because this was a big rodeo this weekend that we ended up not going to, but then in the end they ended up canceling it anyway and then coming through. And I mean, as long as they're even, he's good with this. I mean, that's the thing with rodeo, they go off from a point system, so if some schools can't rodeo and other ones can, they're just building up points and catching us when we're ahead. So I mean, that there's just so many, like I said, so many different scenarios that can play out of this. But our rodeo team's great, and they're all real supportive in everything that we do and we choose to do as an institution.
Yeah, and it's really, I guess, as simple as saying now we just play the waiting game. We sit and wait.
Yep, and that's the hard part. Is I called them each 3 or 4 times a day and just said, I wish I had more information, but it's been changing hourly the last couple of days as to what's going on, and so that's kind of, we just have to deal with what we have.
Well, Coach, I know it's a very busy day, a very hectic week. I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to join us on air and give us an update on what you're hearing on your end. It's always fun to talk with you, Coach. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Jordan. Thank you.
Again, that's USU Eastern Athletic Director Scott Madsen giving us an update on what's happening in the JUCO sports scene. No spring sports until at least April 3rd, and the seasons could be canceled between now and then as well. It's a fluid situation, and we'll continue to update you on it as soon as we get more information. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. While there are no national sports going on right now, one thing that we do know will happen in April, it is the NFL draft. We don't know how it's going to happen. Is it going to be live in Vegas? Is it going to be in a small boardroom? Are they going to go back to what they used to do in the 80s? And so there's questions surrounding the presentation of the draft, but we still know it's going to happen. We're going to talk NFL draft when we return here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. Back right after this.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. A very quiet Friday edition of the show. But even though we don't have NBA, of course, NASCAR has canceled the broadcast on Sunday, so we won't have NASCAR racing this weekend here on KOAL either. We have no baseball. We have nothing going on locally, but we still have one thing that can pull us through, and that's the NFL draft. We know that's going to take place. We just don't know in what fashion. Joining us right now to have a conversation about that, we have Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports and also Panthers Wire with the USA Today. Antoine joined us throughout the entire college football season. He also votes for the Heisman Trophy. Antoine, a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Good to be with you. I wish it was under better circumstances, but yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have nothing going on right now, and that's okay. I know that right now the most important thing is everyone's health, making sure that everybody stays safe. But we still have a lot of sports talk that we can get into, and I know that you cover the NFL again, focusing on the Carolina Panthers. And so the NFL draft, it's about a month off. Still, we know this is going to take place. Again, as I mentioned, we just don't know what fashion. I would have to guess that it's not going to take place live at the Bellagio on the water the way it was originally presented, but we do know the draft will take place. Maybe it's old school, right? A la 1980s once again.
Yeah, back then, I know players just got phone calls that they had been drafted. Obviously, I'm sure it'll probably be on TV, but as far as having a whole bunch of people there and like this big ordeal like I was in Nashville last year, with everything's going on, yeah, I have a hard time believing that's going to happen. And I have a hard time believing some people would want to go, considering what's always going on right now. So, yeah, I think the best thing to do is just probably have it more like they do in MLB, where they'll have representatives there and some players there, not all of them. And they, you find out you get drafted, and you know, you report to camp probably like a week later. So, yeah, I definitely think that'll probably be what the case is for this upcoming thing. It's unfortunate because Vegas was. You just got the Raiders there. They were dependent on a lot of people coming out there for the draft, but bigger things are going on in the world right now, so you kind of take a step back and deal with everything that's going on.
Yeah, and look, as far as the draft is concerned, it's built for Vegas. It is. It's just built for Vegas, especially with the way the draft has really evolved over the last 10 to 15 years. But with that being said, let's take a look at the draft stock, Antoine. Again, I know that you have been covering this extensively, of course, with your work with Athlon and college football and your work with the Carolina Panthers. Has there been anything that has caught your eye in the form of draft stock climbing or dropping over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's been a few people. I know people want to talk about the quarterbacks. I guess we could start there, specifically Justin Herbert and Jordan Love. I think those are the two guys that have been talked about. Obviously, people are talking about Joe Burrow. I know he's going to go to the Bengals. Tua is Tagovailoa expected to go anywhere from 2 to 5, although I don't think the Redskins are probably going to take him. I'm sure they're trying to get to generate interest, like they are going to take him so they could possibly see what they can get for the number 2 pick. And then after that, it's a lot of questions. Who's going to be the third quarterback taken? Is it going to be Herbert, who had a really good combine there? His stock is going up, depending on who you may talk to. And Jordan Love also had a really good combine in there as well. It's both of those guys expected to be taken in the first round. Probably anywhere from, I guess, number 5, depending on what happens with Tua, to anywhere in the 20s. So, yeah, everybody knows this is a quarterback needy league, especially even though we're going to have, like, the free agency expected to have a lot of guys that are going to be available this upcoming, whatever free agency takes place. But, yeah, I expect those guys going to be taken pretty early. And that's really the main thing there. Everybody's kind of talking about there, just the up and down and how good their interest is going up.
I don't think that there's much debate. Maybe you will differ with me on this. I mean, you're talking about the quarterback spot. But, Antoine, I believe it's pretty clear cut. The best player in this draft is Chase Young, and he's going to fall into the hands of whoever has the number 2 pick, be it Washington or someone else. To me, it's very similar to what happened last year with Bosa. I believe Chase Young's the best player in this draft, and I think it does fit for someone like Washington at number 2. You're going to get the best player. You're not going to have to give anything up. If you want to move back, sure, you could. Maybe if somebody wants a quarterback at number 2. But to me, Chase Young is the best player in this draft.
Yeah, it's no question. I think it's a slammed up pick. I would definitely take him number 2 if you're the Redskins. And again, so this is something that nobody's really talking about. He's from the area. He grew up outside of D.C. in the Maryland area. He knows the Redskins pretty well. He's obviously, as you said, I think the best player in the draft, even with Joe Burrow there as well. Yeah, you definitely need, you never have too many pass rushers, and you got a defensive head coach in Ron Rivera who loves to get out the quarterback. And you saw that with the Panthers last year. Even as bad as the Panthers were, they're second in the league in total sacks last year. So, yeah, I expect them to take Taysom there. I know they're talking about Tua and other guys there in the draft, but I have a hard time believing you pass up on a possible generational talent. And we saw what Bosa did for the 49ers last year, and I expect Chase Young probably to do something similar for the Redskins this upcoming year as well.
I would agree. And in the middle of the field, we can't forget about Isaiah Simmons as well, coming out of Clemson. He's got to be a top 2 prospect. I don't know if too many people would have him above Joe Burrow, but when you're just looking at sheer talent and the way they can impact the game almost immediately, this kid's a ball player as well.
Yeah, Isaiah, I think he could go anywhere from 3 to 7. I have a hard time believing. I know the Panthers would be interested in him at 7, but I have a hard time believing he would last that long. There, you got Detroit. Nobody knows exactly. That's really what the draft, I think, is going to start. You got Burrow. I think you got Young going 1 and 2, and then Detroit's interesting because I know a lot of people tried to put Tua there potentially, but you got Matt Stafford there, and you got Matt Patricia and the general manager, Bob Quinn, on the hot seat there. So it really doesn't make a lot of sense to take a guy that has some injury concerns there when your job is in the balance. So, yeah, and you already have – I think Stafford is a really good quarterback still, too, even though he's coming off in an injury situation. So, yeah, I expect them – they might take Simmons. They could take. They could go a lot of different ways there. They could go cornerback there because I know Darius Slay is potentially going to get traded from the Lions. So, yeah, they could go a lot of different directions there. But I do expect Isaiah Simmons either to go to the Lions or you got the Giants at number four who – we could also use some offensive line help as well.
Offensive line is going to be key in this draft. There's a lot of quality offensive linemen I think that we'll see probably go within the top 10. I mean, you have Jedrick Wilson, Willis, coming out of Alabama. He's been climbing draft charts over the last little while. Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa is another one. Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. This is a very interesting offensive line class, and I bring that up because once this guy declared, and I'm talking about Austin Jackson out of USC, a guy that we definitely paid attention to being a Utah Ute affiliate and following the Pac-12, I thought Austin Jackson had all the makings of being a top 15 pick. You look at draft boards now, for whatever reason, he has really slipped. Probably not even a top 5 offensive lineman at this stage.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's such a deep and offensive line draft there. You also have Thomas there from Georgia, who also was thought to be a top 10 pick of slam dunk when he announced he was coming out. And now he's not even mentioned as far as one of the top three or four offensive linemen there in the draft there as well. So, yes, it tells you how much depth it is. And also some of the players that also improved their position during the combine there as well. Either way, I expect a number of different, whether it's the guard, especially a lot of tackles to be taken in the first round there. Because even you got some teams that have some questions. I know the Chargers and the Panthers made a trade recently between each other as far as offensive linemen, but they both still have needs there. So they definitely could take an offensive lineman there. I mentioned the Giants there. They you want to try to protect your young quarterback there, Daniel Jones. So you definitely have a need there. And the Browns, they definitely need to find a way. I know Baker Mayfield struggled last year, but they have to find a way to protect him, your young quarterback there, and give him some help.
Again, Antoine Staley joining us right now as we talk about the NFL draft. One thing that we know for certain will take place. Let's talk about the running back position, because right now, if you bring up running backs in the conversation with the NFL, people are going to point to Todd Gurley, they're going to point to Le'Veon Bell, they're going to point to Ezekiel Elliott. These are big money players, and it has not resulted in any sort of championship for any of these teams. Now, with that being said, I think the statistic was brought up. Highest paid leading rusher in the Super Bowl over the last 10, 12 years was making like $2 million. So with that, I guess in a copycat league, you would assume that running back, maybe not a hot commodity, but it could change the fortune of the draft. You have a guy like Jonathan Taylor, where if he's healthy, he's dynamic. He should be a first-round draft pick. Once you get past him, I know you have Swift coming out of Georgia. There's some interesting names at the running back spot as well.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins is a guy that I really looked at as well. I know the Dolphins have them for his interview, one of their 30 interviews they're allowed to have pre-draft, during the pre-draft process. So, yeah, he's definitely a running back that I'm very interested in. He's a guy, I'm sure he's probably not going to be a first-round pick, but he's somebody that could be taken early in the second round there. Somebody I really like, was really dynamic. I thought he was a Heisman Trophy candidate there throughout the course of the year for Ohio State. It's just the fact that they have some other guys, obviously, and Young and Fields there that kind of overshadowed him. But, yeah, you're talking about a guy that can catch the ball out the backfield. He's a really good running threat. And somebody that can, like I say, do a lot of different things there for a team. So, yeah, if you're looking for somebody that's outside of that, I like him. Also, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's probably one of my favorite running backs in the draft there. I don't think he gets talked about a whole lot there. I think a lot of people are worried about his size there. Can he hold up? But this is a guy that I thought he was just as important and sort of, to the LSU offense as Joe Burrow last year. He took a lot of pressure off of Burrow and was able to run the ball pretty effectively too, and catch the ball as well. So, yeah, those are the two running backs out of the ones that everybody's talked about that I'm kind of taking a look at.
How does the current financial situation of the three running backs that I just talked about, how does that affect draft stock of running backs, or does it at all?
It's such a deep running back draft. So, yeah, I feel like I feel like Taylor and Swift are probably up there for me. If you feel like you can't get one of those, then yeah, maybe you go after a Dobbins or a Hilaire or some of the other guys there. But yeah, I definitely think that it can make it from Florida State there as well. It's also a running back that I think is could prove to be a solid player in the NFL as well. So it's such a deep running back draft, along with wide receiver too. I think it's one of the deepest running backs and wide receiver drafts I've seen in a while. So yeah, I definitely think that if you have a guy that you really sold on, then yeah, you go out, you go and try to get him whenever you can. But if you have a guy, if you feel like it's not much separation between maybe a Taylor or a Dobbins or a Hilaire or whatever, then you feel like you feel comfortable maybe waiting until the second or third round to possibly get in the running back there.
Antoine, in your mind, what is the most interesting storyline that you're paying attention to between now and the NFL draft?
Well, obviously, it's a lot of different things. Well, one is this collective bargaining agreement. Is that going to go through? And the players are going to vote yes or no on that? And if they vote yes, and you know, obviously that's going to change a lot of the way teams do as far as the salary cap. And I know the Cowboys are interesting to see what happens there because they have some guys that are free agents, obviously, Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. So that's probably the first thing I will look at there. We'll learn about that soon enough. And then also you got the Tom Brady saga. What's going to happen there? Is he going to return to the Patriots? Which I think he is. I think he just wants to be flirted and kind of courted by another team and see what that's like in the last stages of his career. Yeah, since he's been with New England so long, he just wants to see what's out there. But I think he'll realize the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and sometimes it's better to stay where you are, especially when you have somebody unknown with a new team and his age and, you know, him not being the same player that he used to be. So, yeah, I definitely think that would be something to keep an eye on there as well. So, you got free agency, the quarterbacks, and this quarterback, there's so many interesting names as far as the quarterbacks that's going to be available. And Phillip Rivers is another guy. Where is he going to go there? So, yeah, I definitely think those are the storylines that I'm looking at there.
It'll definitely be entertaining. And again, we're going to be putting a heavy focus on the NFL because right now, with everything being shut down, we know that the draft and we know that maybe free agency will begin the new league season for the NFL March 18th. So we're just a few days away from that. Antoine Staley, again, of Athlon Sports and also Panthers Wire with the USA Today. Antoine, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find me at Antoine Staley on Twitter and also at Athlon Sports there as well. And some colleges are still going on with spring practices. I know the University of Florida is. It's just going to be close to the public, so you can read about some of the spring things that are going on there at Athlon Sports.
Always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time. Try to not become too bored. Try to stay entertained in some sense.
Yeah, I'm going to try to. Yeah, it's going to be hard, but yeah, I'm going to try.
Antoine, it's a pleasure. Thank you again.
Yes, sir.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
We're back on Drive Time Sports to close out this week of the show with an abstract conversation. Get used to it. We're going to have abstract conversations galore, I believe, over the next few weeks. Also, one of the things that we don't do a whole lot of here on Drive Time Sports, but we will implement next week, callers. We used to take callers a long time ago. I'll bring in Travis Anderson. Travis, when we started the show 10 years ago, can you believe that? 10 years ago. We're going on our 10-year anniversary. We used to take callers all the time. We kind of went away from that. Right now, we would be doing the March Madness Tournament Challenge, but obviously, can't do that this year. So, next week, I want to implement callers. I want to know what you want to talk about. It doesn't matter as far as sports-wise. There's not a lot going on. You want to talk abstract. You want to talk about the greatest in a specific sport. You want to talk about a specific season. You want to talk about interaction that you had with an athlete. Next week, we will open up the phone lines, and I want you, the listener, to call in and join us here on Drive Time Sports. That'll be next week. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll get a lot of caller interaction just to talk sports on the radio for a few moments. But Travis, we have nothing this week. We have no Major League Baseball. We have no NBA. Obviously, there's no NFL. There's no college sports. There's nothing locally. We have no sports. This almost seems like a barroom table conversation, right? You're sitting around a poker table or you're sitting around a table in a basement with some buddies and you ask the question, if sports just one day just didn't exist, what would you miss most? That all of a sudden is a realistic conversation because as we sit here right now, they don't exist. What do you miss most?
I miss the NBA. I miss the Lakers. I love basketball. I love college basketball. You know me. I love regular season college basketball. So I'm, you know, sad that I can't watch Kentucky, you know, falter down the stretch in March Madness. I can't watch the Lakers. The Lakers are finally good. And now it's all came in. And I love hockey. So, you know, those three are the main things.
Yeah, you know I'm not a huge regular season college basketball fan. I follow players during the college basketball season. So March Madness, I've complained for years about it being the worst postseason tournament. And even though you're a big college basketball fan, you agree with me on that.
Yeah, it's the worst way that we crown any champion in any sport. It's terrible.
Okay, so I miss March Madness, no question. I think any sports fan does. I'll tell you, my grandma doesn't miss March Madness. For the first time in a long time, her daytime television isn't going to be interrupted with March Madness. So I know my grandma doesn't miss March Madness. She's probably the only one in this country that doesn't. NBA, yeah, you know, I am a little bummed out about Major League Baseball as well. Now, don't get me wrong. The NBA season's been fantastic, and it would be at the top of my list. But we don't know when Major League Baseball is going to begin. And it's America's pastime.
And the Reds are finally good.
Well, maybe.
They're going to be good.
Maybe. But I've said this for the longest time. It's America's pastime. Opening day should be a holiday.
Should.
Because it's America's pastime. We don't know when we are going to get that. Right? That's an historical day for sports. It's an historical day. Every single year, opening day, it just has a different allure to it than, I believe, opening day of any other sport. Opening day baseball. Yeah, but there's 161 more games after opening day, but there's just something special about it. And when you look at ticket prices, so say you're a Yankee fan. Have you ever tried to get Yankee tickets for opening day?
Pretty expensive.
Exactly. There's a reason why. Opening day for Major League Baseball is just super unique. And we had Steve Bortstein on the show yesterday, and he brought up the idea of how this could affect combat sports as well. You know, you were saying that the Reds are finally good, the Lakers are finally good, right? Do you know how long it's been since the heavyweight boxing division has possessed any sort of intrigue in this country? Worldwide, it's always been big. But in this country, and you know I'm a boxing head.
Now what, 10, 15 years?
Even longer than that. I think you'd 20? Have to go I think you'd have to go back to probably 2000, yeah, 20 years. I think we're talking about two decades. We finally have some sort
A buzz
around the heavyweight division. We want to see Wilder and Fury Part 3. I don't know when that's going to happen. So it is kind of unique. There are some situations that when you stop and think about it, I host the show every day. You join me on most days. It's 6 days a week here on Drive Time Sports. I guess I forgot how much my life revolves around sports.
You plan your evenings or your days around your team.
You do.
And now that you don't have that there, you're kind of sitting around like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, you know, and we had Coach Madsen, Scott Madsen, the athletic director of USU Eastern, on earlier today as well. And most nights over the last little while, my daughter and I have gone down to the BDAC to play basketball. We can't even do that right now.
No.
Sports has been completely removed from our lives. I miss the NBA. I am going to desperately miss Major League Baseball if we don't get it back before the middle of April. I mean, who knows what the season, who knows what it's going to look like by the time we get it. March Madness is going to be extremely odd. 15, 20 years from now, we're going to be talking about this time because there will be no national champion in 2020. That's just, it's like it never existed.
It's crazy, and it's sad for those seniors and, you know, those players.
They'll work that out, I think, eligibility-wise.
Hopefully they let him. But, yeah, March is special for, you know, college sports. And not only that, but you have, like, golf. You have majors in golf.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the golf.
Yeah, I mean, everything, you know, kind of circulates in March going into April, and that's when, you know, the NFL picks up some steam. But, yeah, it's just weird. It's really weird right now.
It's a strange time. So next week, We will get abstracted. Again, I want to hear from you. What do you want to talk about? Right? We're going to talk movies and sports. What's your favorite baseball movies? What baseball movies don't you like? We'll talk football movies. We'll have the NFL draft, continue to talk about video games. I love sports video games as well. Don't play them as often as I used to, but there's some real nostalgic sports video games. I want to do a show on starting lineups. Remember starting lineups?
You and I used to run down to the local store and dig through the boxes before they put them on the shelves.
I want to do a show on starting lineups. I want to talk about abstract conversations and things that spark nostalgia. I'll even bend and talk WWE.
I know you love it.
Oh my gosh. I had a couple of people tell me now's the perfect time to talk WWE.
What about, what is it, AEW, the new one, the other one?
I have no idea.
One of those you'll have to...
I'll talk the history of WWE or WWF, whatever it is. I'll talk the history of that.
Because it was cool way back in the 80s, 90s.
We're going to have to. We don't have much of a choice. Drive Time Sports will continue, I promise you, 6 days a week, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. We're out of time today. I will catch you on Monday. Be safe. We are out.